You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From our studio to yours, this is Various Artists.
Ahi ahi mari e, tēnā koutou katoa, ko mea toka ingoa.
Ko Sofia toku ingoa, nō mai haere mai ki Various Artists mō tēnei wiki. Kia ora mea, how are you this week?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, I'm super excited for the show today. We're doing something a little bit different.
Yes, we are. I'm so excited. So if, I should probably say what we're doing
first. What we're doing.
Yes, we interviewed the 2025 Elam graduate show. We spoke to some of the graduates, which was really exciting.
We went around yesterday and Maya's first time on the Zoom mics.
Yeah. Learning new things.
And it was a bit of a full circle moment as well, because I interviewed Maya for my segment on this last year.
Yes.
So it's kind of crazy.
No, it was a beautiful full circle moment, and I got to interview some of my friends who are graduating this year. And yeah, lovely being on the other side with Soph, and I've had such a beautiful year with you.
Yes. Oh my god, it's getting to like the end of the year where we get really like sappy.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
But coming up, we did talk to 7 students. We spoke to Capstone graduates, BFA graduates, Ella Rowe, Kara Haig, Sophie Drury, Yana San Victoris, and Fabian Strauss.
And we also spoke to Masters graduates, Michael McClelland and Thea Long. Here, aha o whakara, we would love to hear your thoughts on these pieces. So tuku patahi mai, you can text us on 5395-5 why mai rane, or give us a call in the studio on 309-3879.
Also after the show, as always, koa e ware ware e ahe ana koutou, te whakarongo ki e nei kōrero anō hei pakihere roki roki maronga i te pai tuku tuku o Irirangi Poho, me haere ki 95BFM edakati.com. You can catch all of these chats and more by podcast on the 95BFM website, 95bfm.com. We're going to get straight into it and firstly listen back to my kōrero with Yana San Victoris. Here is that one right now.
My name is Yana. I'm a Filipina artist, sort of working with identity and my diasporic experience with that. My work is looking at the Anting Anting vest, which is a revolutionary sort of talismanic vest that were used as a sort of spiritual protection during that time. And I think it, to me, was a symbol of the sort of complexities of the Filipino identity. And I really wanted to explore that and sort of have my own reimagination of that. Yeah, and my work is 3 starched shirts, sort of everyday clothing with an acrylic hand-drawn ink of different inscriptions, symbols that sort of talk about pre-colonial animism, which is a sort of pre-Hispanic Filipino religion, and kind of brings back to those stories with a mix of folk Catholic imagery as well. Yeah, and it's also got inscriptions that sort of mix this pseudo-Latin, Tagalog, and sort of Bicolano languages as well, sort of working with mistranslation as a way of showing the sort of hybrid identity that's come from Filipinos' history. Yeah, and it's kind of framed by this really yellow wall, quite a warm feeling in the space. And then I have 2 wooden anitos that kind of watch over it. They sort of represent ancestors, and they just act as guardians for the space and just for the people that come and see them, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. It's such a powerful installation, and the yellow is such a great match. I do want to talk a little bit more, I guess, about the iconography that are on the t-shirts. You've kind of spoken a little bit to it, but can you talk to me a little bit more about where you're kind of drawing from here and the t-shirts, and I guess that relationship between what you're drawing from and how they've taken their sculptural form?
Yeah, so I think my main inspiration were these images of these Anting Anting vests from the revolution times, you know, against the Spanish and against America. And they had these sort of symmetrical Catholic iconography that was really hard to decode. And I think through my sort of deciphering what all that meant, I kind of unmasked the animism foundation that they had, which was really interesting to me. And I think I took that sort of code of how that worked. And then I was reading a lot of these stories from pre-colonial Philippines that really inspired me, these creation myths. Yeah, and then I kind of drew from those symbols to sort of flip the more Christian look into maybe the veneration of ancestors to include those more, and these different gods that they also acknowledged and gave offerings to. Yeah.
So, yeah, so quite research heavy, but also very personal.
Yeah, yeah. I think the inclusion of my own ancestors was what really connected me to these shirts, as I was making them sort of for my own use or for my own family's use. So that was, I think, really powerful in that process, yeah.
Mm, yeah, in terms of the starching, obviously it means that we can see this iconography a lot more clearly, but are you able to talk a little bit more about that choice as opposed to leaving them unstarched, if you will?
Yeah, I think the starching process came as a bit of a surprise to me, because I actually didn't know about it before. But I stumbled across it, and then my parents knew more about it than I did, and I was able to get them to teach me, actually.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, and so them being a part of that process was really meaningful. And I think the starch is a part of sort of the function of drawing on them, because the starching makes these fabrics like paper, and that's just, easier for applying the ink.
And for people who do come and see the show, whereabouts is your work located?
I am located on level 3 of the Mondrian building, and it's the bright yellow wall in the centre.
Can't miss it.
No, you can't.
That was Yana Sam-Victorious. She is graduating with a BFA at the Elam School of Fine Arts. If you're just tuning in, this is our Elam Graduate Show special here on Various Artists. It's running across this whole weekend from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. at Elam Fine Arts Studios. The whole show, you can see the 7 students that we've interviewed, as well as the rest of the graduating cohorts, all weekend, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah, and up next, I interviewed Kara Haig. She's got a beautiful painting practice. Definitely, yeah, I love everyone's work in the show, so definitely go check it out. But yeah, this is my corridor with Kara Haig.
Sure, I'm Kara Haig. I just finished my BFA at Elam, so in the grad show, I'm showing 7 paintings, which I guess they're all kind of different looking, but they deal with like the materialities of light and water in different ways. I'm really obsessed with windows as, I guess, like symbols of perception and positionality and like interior and exterior worlds. And I guess the paintings began from an impulse to like capture, yeah, like windows and light and water.
Yeah, and that showing in your use of materiality, there seems to be a really large like exploration of paint and that like that water and very like fluid motion. Do you want to speak a little bit to your use of materiality and exploration of paint and like the kind of like the language of paint?
Sure, yeah. I guess like in my process, I often get really caught up in the act of like priming. Like a lot of my paint, like the first one, it's kind of just white, and I didn't really mean for it to end up being so simple, but I think often when I'm just like covering a surface, I get kind of like, it's quite satisfying, or like it's a like kind of a bodily motion that feels very familiar as someone who's always been, you know, like painting and drawing and colouring in. And I think it just kind of, it can look interesting in like a really simple way when you just kind of have one idea and you like carry it out over a surface.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. I love seeing the texture of paint and that motion. And also I want to speak to your install. You've got 2 paintings that are kind of positioned out from the wall, and really have that quality of windows. And you want to speak a bit to this unusual use of installation?
They're installed on their side because, like, practically it would have been really difficult to install them on their back because mm-hmm. they're double layered. So, like, one of them has, like, a glad wrap kind of backing. The other one is, like, a repurposed silk screen. And the reason for them being double layered is because I was kind of thinking about this idea of, like a double glazed window or, like, a membrane where, like, there's this kind of secret third space, I guess, like, between two surfaces that the viewer only, like, has partial access to. Or, like, you can kind of see it, but you can't, like, be there. I guess installing them on their side was a way of highlighting that and being able to see that. And also, I guess they kind of awkwardly, like, negotiate their own status as paintings, and I feel like I like to think of them almost more as sculptures, a couple of them. So I feel like installing them in a way where you can see, like, the sides and the staples is kind of important to me.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting, and it does add that questions, that idea of that painting just being that flat surface, and it's you're bringing it into the sculpture and bringing it into, like, the space as well, bringing it out from the wall and kind of really getting that more bodily interaction, like, as a viewer being able to kind of pivot your body around the painting and really deconstruct or see those different uses of the frame or those elements that are normally hidden behind a canvas. Like, you've got one that it's like the frame and the stretcher bars are fully on show, that whole the idea of uncovering the, like, beneath the surface.
Totally, I'm really into, like, transparency and opacity, and I feel like that's something materially really interesting to me, but also, like, conceptually.
Yeah, beautiful. And for people coming to the grad show, where can they see your work?
I'm in the Mondrian building. I'm on level 4, and I'm in the, like, back and left wall.
That was Kira Haig speaking to me about her practice and paintings within the show. She's graduating with BFA. We've got some more interviews coming at you, but we've got a little song in between. So enjoy and be sure to stick around for the rest of the interviews.
Various artists.
Salt trails on my skin, your fingers following them, diving into your eyes, ocean deep, sand grains in my teeth. I'm grinding, I'm grinding. Burning pine trees, cicadas singing, the mountainside is changing. Thank you.
Various artists,
so you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
Welcome back. You are listening to Various Artists on 95BFM. This is our Elim Graduate Show special. And I also spoke to MFA graduate Michael McClelland about his work in the show. He's created this really interesting video piece, which is semi-autobiographical. And it was really great to chat. So here is that one.
My name is Michael McClelland, and I am a graduating MFA student, so Master of Fine Arts. Working in video art.
Yeah, beautiful. You've got this really interesting video art piece here today. Before we kind of flesh out some of the things that I picked up in there, do you want to kind of introduce the work for our listeners?
Yeah, sure. I would describe the work as a 3-minute long video installation work that displays as kind of a stroboscopic flickering melange of various different images aligned or stitched together in composite form to reproduce footage that I originally shot of my mundane reality as I go about my day, driving in the car, doing the dishes, going to uni, and that sort of quotidian banal existence.
I was going to say, it feels quite autobiographical in that sense. What kind of led you to kind of flesh out those themes in this work?
That's a really good question. The work is really invested in the question of reality, I would say. There are many different kind of approaches the audience could take to it. But first and foremost, I should clarify for listeners that there are two lines of dialogue that I heard. One is "the whole world is watching," which is taken from a famous 1968 protester slogan, and the other is "you must change your life," which is the final line from the archaic Torso of Apollo by the poet Rania Maria Rilke.
The whole world is watching. The whole world is watching. Change your life. The whole world is watching.
To the extent that it's autobiographical, I think certainly I'm a person that is as self-fixated as the next person and feels the demands of a life that seems to command me to change as its one maxim. But in that sense, it's universal as well. So really what I'm trying to address is capitalism as a theme, and I'm coming at it from a Marxist theory of art.
Yeah, I did pick up on the 1968 protest line. I've just been studying that, so it was very, very present. And I find it quite interesting to kind of be taking from that and placing it with a current context. How do you kind of see that relationship between these sound features in the work and the visual features of the work?
That's a really good question. I chose a multimedia approach as opposed to merely like just falling into it. I deliberately, at the start of this year of study, decided that I was going to make my final project a video work, and one that incorporated audio and video, not merely to attain to a semblance of contemporaneity, if that's a word, but more because the use of multimedia technology has become part of the modern experience of art. In the same way that the invention of cinema, film, as a means has come to define 20th century life, and so has recorded music. And I felt that if I was to deal with the way that people currently experience works of art, I should do it in the most accessible way that people can relate to most immediately.
Yeah, totally. It does feel very relatable in that sense. You can see yourself in you in the video, which is such a great way to connect with the viewer. It does feel, in terms of like process, it does feel almost like a stop motion kind of way of piecing together the work. Can you talk me through a little bit about what that process kind of looked like in making this work?
Yeah, sure. I'll give the game away a little bit. First of all, I'll say that it resonates that you use the word stop motion, because that was the first kind of words that came to my mind once I achieved this effect. I later settled on stroboscopic, which I mentioned briefly before.
Yes.
But in a nutshell, what I did was I used generative AI technology, which is a term I don't like. I see AI as a marketing term, and it also subjects me to all the backlash that AI has encountered in recent months. But nonetheless, I want to persist with it as a means of generating different possibilities of one, or variations of one theme, effectively. Mm. So that's what I've done here for listeners who aren't able to sit down and literally view the work. What it is footage that I've shot originally, and then every single frame of the footage is a different variation on the original, if that makes sense. Mm. I didn't use any prompting whatsoever. I didn't use any text input. I simply let platform do its thing and then kind of held up the result to the spectator. And what it looks like is kind of like a flickering, it's almost uncanny. I don't know if you would agree with that. It's kind of, it looks like you can recognize my face in it very clearly, but also you can recognize a thousand other like bearded white men wearing a hat in it. You know, it's kind of got that sort of universal but also particular thing at the same time.
Mm, for sure. It's been so great chatting about your work. For people who do come and see the show, where can they find your work location-wise?
Right, yeah. If you want to see the installation, come to the grad show that is this weekend at Elam. And you can also view it online via my personal YouTube page. If you just type in the words Life World, that's one word, Life Word, Life World, followed by the word Horace, like Horace, it'll come up and you'll be able to watch it online.
Amazing. And this is level two of?
Of the same building that the Elam reception is located in.
That one.
Yeah.
That was MFA graduating student Michael McClelland chatting to me about his video work in the Elam Graduate Show on this weekend at Elam Fine Art Studios from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m.
Yeah, up next, I got to speak with Ella Rowe. Ella did this beautiful installation of these large-scale metal sculptures with some metal etching plates and a wall piece. Yeah, so this is the interview with Ella Rowe.
Hi, I'm Ella Rowe. I would say I'm mostly a drawer, but have been working heavily in translating those to sculpture this year, and I have made a room full of beds that have been like broken and twisted and bent as kind of like stand-ins for, you know, like a broken body and the recovery and care that requires, that we require as human beings.
Mm. Yeah, there's three large-scale metal sculptures that this really line, drawing-like quality to them, and also speak to these kind of, jumping animals in fields and beds. Do you want to speak a bit to these sculptures?
They kind of come from me translating my experience in hospitals, and that as someone with like a quote-unquote broken body, you know, recovering in these beds and melding, becoming part of them, and essentially like, you know, like how a wheelchair becomes an extension of yourself, these beds becoming an extension of myself, and so turning them into bodies and their own beings with autonomy. And they're moving. Some of them are like almost pregnant, leaning up against the wall, racing around.
Yeah, and I love the scale of them. They really have that bodily interaction. You can walk around them and really, again, because they've got that really like line 3D like quality. As you move, they kind of move with you, and you get revealed these other kind of forms that kind of come out, which I think is really lovely. And then also hanging off the sides of them, you've got these metal etching plates with these farm animals and other forms. Do you want to speak a bit to the inclusion of those and their attachment and interaction with the sculptures?
Yeah, well, these drawings are like literally carried by the beds and what they're holding. They kind of lend themselves to where they're hanging as well. There's like a mama pig and baby pigs on a big mama bed. They like the pram in the hall, and a knife apparatus that speaks to pain and the signification of pain as a means of describing an internal feeling on a very like painful position, mm-hmm. I guess, of a bed. And I don't know, I just wanted a way to include drawings because I love to draw, and they, I feel like they help give each of the beds like personality and like a backstory and a name almost.
I love how they're not just drawings on paper as well, but it is that metal etching plate, and it's got that engraved nature to the line that really speaks nicely to the lines in the sculpture. And on the wall you've also got large printed graph tree with these names on them. Do you want to speak a little bit to that work within the space?
Yeah, well, this one is a bit of a late addition. Mm. I, just as like a life practice, love to map complex things out so that I understand it. And I have been mapping out grief and what it means to care, what it means to grieve, what it means to love. And I've come to realize that it's really kind of an extremely complex, ever-growing web that you can never fully understand or linearly categorize. And so this is a kind of like a first attempt at showing that web of care. And after its assembly, like it's there as its own body as well. And you are able to be kind of face to face with it in the space, which I really like, and like kind of have a conversation with this like nerve system of care, which is really lovely.
Yeah, beautiful work. And for those coming to the Elam grad show, where can they find your work?
I'm on level 3 in the Mondrian building, right at the very back.
Gorgeous.
That was Ella Rowe speaking to me about her work within the Elam grad show. She's graduating with a BFA from Elam. And we've got some more interviews after, but we've got a little Sharon Van Eden number for you.
God knows Maya is so excited for this.
I'm so excited. She's like my favorite artist. Every time. So it's like, Maya, do you want to like play a song on the radio?
Maya has like 3 artists that she is like, I want to hear this and I want to hear her and I want to hear her. And Sharon Van Eden is always like number 1 of that list. So the other's way, Maya's on her way. She's going to be in the very middle. She's so ready.
I am so ready, Sharon. I'm going to be at the front. I can't wait to sing my heart out to 17.
Oh my God. Maya, we're going to be crying.
Yeah, we are. But this is a bit more of a, I don't know, upbeat? I don't know.
Song. Can Sharon be upbeat?
Yeah, I don't know. This is one of my other favorite songs. This is Comeback Kid. So enjoy that and then be sure to stick around for, the rest of our interviews.
Garth, where's your hat? No hat, no play.
I don't have one, sir.
Then go on and pick a hat from Lost Property.
Oh, sir, those hats all have nits.
It's nits or melanoma, Garth.
It's a no hat, no play summer, so it's lucky 95BFM have you sorted with sweet merch for your noggins. Choose from four designs, two classic cap designs, one cord design, and a bucket hat. Pre-order yours now from twotonesmerch.co.nz.
Go Cooler Music is giving away a guitar. Want to win it? Just text Go Cooler to 53955, spelled G-O-K-U-L-A, along with your B-card number and your favourite guitar player or riff, and you'll be in the draw to win a Torquay Legacy guitar. Tune in to Dirtbag Radio Monday, December 1st, from 7 to 9pm to hear Rapley draw the winner. Cheers, Go Cooler Music, 378 Broadway, Newmarket.
The worms better watch their back.
Sometimes you need a bit of uns.
That snooze button better be disarmed.
I like it. It's making my eyelid twitch. Love it.
And the wrong side of the bed better shuffle over.
And they're just so beautifully, like, menstrual.
Because we've got a little something for your gratitude journal.
Cowbella. Cowbella.
Cowbella. Cowbella.
It's the 95BFM Breakfast Show with your hosts, Rosetta and Millie. 7 till 10 every weekday. Thanks to 830 Coffee Roasters.
The original originator.
95.
You can listen to us while you're at home doing some chores, or you can take us along for company while you're driving in your car.
Go to 95bfm.com for show podcasts.
Oh, that's a good art.
Welcome back to Various Artists. This is our Elam Graduate Show special. We've got three more lovely interviews to share with you all today. Up next we have Sophie Drury. She has created these big, large-scale The bedsheet is the canvas, and these painting works that are based off these fables and story tales and creating these really lovely feelings of nostalgia that take across a whole big wall, and it's pretty amazing. So here is an interview with Sophie Drury now. Yeah.
So I'm Sophie. I'm basically a queer artist currently based in Tamaki Makaurau. Yeah, my practice tends to be, usually it's multimedia, but currently it's been focused on painting.
Yeah, beautiful. You've got this amazing installation of works here for the grad show. Talk to me a little bit about them. I understand that storytelling is quite a big part of it. Can you kind of speak to, I guess, the ideas within the work firstly?
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, so I have my 8 works here. So the series is called Reciting Allegories, which is basically reciting a story or picture from memory and like having that come into it. So when I was researching stories and things like that, I was focusing on like fairy tales, myths, all those types of fun stories that you read when you're younger. Mm. And something I noticed while reading them is a lot of them have a message, a theme or something like that, and it tends to come across in through like tropes, and by tropes I mean like environments, animals, like pushing the narrative so that you get to that end and that conclusion. So I kind of wanted to isolate essentially the tropes that I found that were recurrent and try to bring them into painting. So that includes like some of the ones I have is like a wolf, a snake, a good old into the woods type with a forest. Mm. But yeah, so that's kind of where I was coming from and what I wanted to explore in my work.
It has this quite nostalgic quality in that sense, and I think particularly you've used bed sheets as a canvas, and I'd love to kind of hear a little bit more about that choice, because I feel like it really adds to, I guess, that feeling that comes with the work. What led you to choose a bed sheet?
So there's a lot that comes into it. While I was obviously looking at oral traditions, I was focused on fairy tales for most of it, and I kind of wanted to isolate that point where someone tells a fairy tale. So thinking of like a parent telling a child when they're going to bed. So I wanted to capture the idea of the sheet and having that prevalent in the story, because a painting's a painting, but by including my bed sheets into it, I was able to allude to like the dreaming and that type of idea. So that's kind of why I chose the bed sheet. And also it has a really nice materiality when you're painting onto it.
Yeah, beautiful. These are, of course, quite large scale works. And I can imagine it's quite an immersive process, particularly with, you know, I'm looking at the snake in particular, and there's these quite fluid lines that are coming through. Are you able to speak a little bit more to your process in making these works as
Absolutely. Well, one thing about my process is it's so much fun, which I'm not sure if everyone always says, but so the way I paint is I usually start with the form. So I use dyes when painting. And so it was usually I would take a dye that I decided would work with the animal I was painting, or the forest in particular, and then I would use my brush attached to a bamboo stick, because I can give an official stick, and I was essentially like painting the form, and most of the time it was very fluid, but then sometimes I would choose to contrast it. So I'd paint the base and have the general form, and then sometimes I go over it in oil pastels to, I guess, create a tension between some of the works where it's more fluid, and then also having it defined by having the pastel shape it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. I'm also quite interested to hear a little bit more about these borders, if you will, that are surrounding the works. You know, we see these snakes, these foxes, which are obviously noticeable icons, but can you talk to me a bit about the inclusion of the border as well?
Yeah, 100%. So the border for me, it has two parts to it. It's alluding to the story in the sense that you have that form of structure. So I wanted all of my works to have that cohesion by having the borders be incorporated. I was also taking inspiration from illuminated manuscripts and those types of like books. And so it was like incorporating that type of imagery and bringing it into the work itself. And then in terms of like the subject on the borders, a lot of it is intuitive, but most of it comes from like gathering imagery from outside. So when I'd be out about walking, I'd see a building that had lovely designs, or I'd be scrolling through social media and I'd see another design there. And it's kind of like taking those types of aspects and bringing them into the work. And also Celtic knots, because that's my personal history.
For people who do come and see the show, whereabouts is your work located?
So my work is in the PA Mondrian building, which is 432, I believe, and it's on level 4.
That was Sophie Drury, who is graduating with a BFA from Elam School of Fine Arts. This is the Elam Graduate Show special here on 95BFM Various Artists. And up next we have...
Yeah, I spoke with Fabian Strausch about his work in the Elam Grad Show. I was quite taken aback by it. He had like a big room of this metal scaffolding with these large scale abstract paintings that are held up by the scaffolding, and then some other paintings around the wall. So yeah, this is my chat with Fabian.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Fabian Strausch, and I guess I work with painting and image-based media.
And your work in the grad show, you've got this complex scaffolding metal system that's propping up these large paintings that you can kind of, yeah, see their exposed back. Would you like to speak to this work a little bit?
Yeah, well, I guess it's multiple responses to the image and sort of situating the question of... if there is a world of images, how can painting respond to that or negotiate that question, or should it even? And so there's collages, dot paintings, and drip paintings that sort of offer different interventions and so on. To, but,
Why the decision on that scaffolding?
Well, to sort of break the illusionistic surface of a painting, you can walk around the side, sort of different viewpoints, and I guess... the reference was Marcel Bruthers has this joke that paintings are like sails, and speaks both to the poetic possibility of a painting, but also the sort of like constructed box, and to expose the back is sort of like make a joke of a painting, but also expose the spectacle of it in a way.
Yeah, and bringing it out from that world of just the the flat painting on the wall, and bringing it into the space of the gallery, and bringing it more into those sculptural aspects, and kind of questioning what is a painting and how one can interact with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And speaking to the paintings themselves, the abstract images that have this really complex investigation of paint and its materiality. Do you want to speak a little bit to your material practice going into the painting?
Sure. I mean, the two large paintings are sort of process paintings. One allows material to drip, and they're sort of made by just sort of letting the paint run and drip and build up in that way. So they offer like a weak image. Whereas other ones, the collages or the dot paintings, which sort of resemble an image more, are maybe engaging with the material of paint, but also the how that material can question an image, obscure an image, reproduce it, or undermine it in some way.
So you're more focused on that kind of the material and the process rather than that final image itself.
Yeah. I guess all the works try to engage with images in different ways to sort of posit them in space and sort of slow the reading. I mean, if the context of a world is where images are fast, media is quick, and I guess I'm drawing on Hito Steirl, who's a German video artist here. And so to slow the image or to not paint the image are different responses to that that I'm interested in.
Mm. And alongside these big stretch canvases, you've got these little paintings on metal plates mm-hmm. that sit alongside the work on the walls. Do you want to speak a bit to that? Because it gets got a very large like scale difference and quite a different application of paint to it.
Yeah, well, they're standard photographic size paper or the size of it, 6x4. And there's multiple different ways. It's screen printed. There's one just a hand polished metal plate, which is sort of funny because it's like a painting in a way. The ultimate image, but also not an image. And then, the collage of chopping up images that are then pieced back together. They're sort of like quite labored images, quite sort of lots of content smashed into one.
Yeah, and where do these images come from? What kind of images are you scouting?
I guess they're drawn from media. They're all found images. All sorts, from news sites to social media to whatever, really. The interest is digital media, so pulling from that in a quite direct way.
Yeah, I think they sit so wonderfully in space, especially with this scaffolding device, which works so well. As you walk into the room, you see the scaffolding of the canvases themselves, and you're kind of forced to walk in between these devices and really question painting. And
that was important for me, that you sort of are implicated in it, that you can't see the work from when you enter the space and you have to, like, it forces a proximity. You have to stand quite close or you have to sort of move around, and you can never see all the work at once. The sort of this problem of the image that's situated in media and how we engage with that through maybe a language of painting, you can't unpick it because you can't see it all, or it doesn't resolve itself in some clear way.
Mm. And for those who are coming to the grad show, where can they find your work?
Floor 2 on 433 is the building.
That was Fabian Strauss speaking to me about his work within the Elam grad show. So I've got one more interview up next. Who do you speak to?
Last but not least, I had a really lovely chat with Thea Long, who is a MFA graduate. Her work is in Project Space, and it's this 4 moving image works. It looks so amazing in space together. She's painted the floor this violet color. There's a curtain as well. She's playing with different screens. And it was really interesting to chat with her a little bit more about the ideas behind the work. So I'll let you all listen to that one now. This is Thea Long.
Hi, I'm Thea. I've just finished my master at Elam. My practice works with performance and moving image, sometimes across multiple screens. I'm interested in how memory can be staged and reimagined through performer props and small daily gestures rather than through straightforward documentary or voiceover. Also interested in relationship between people. Many of my works start from my own experience and then expand outward to the shared space.
Yeah, beautiful. You've got an amazing installation here in Project Space with 4 different video images happening at the same time. Talk to me a little bit about this work for our listeners, kind of introduce the work for us.
The project starts from my own experience of moving from my hometown Chengdu to Auckland when I was 18. Mm-hmm. So it's feels like I'm living in 2 spaces, 2 timelines. So my childhood and teenage years in Chengdu and my adult life here in Auckland. So I'm interested in how memory changed when we repeated, and how it feels to ask someone to perform the things like it's originally belonged to my private past. And how the work sits somewhere between awkwardness and tenderness, between homecoming and not quite fit in anymore, this kind of feeling. Mm. And I'm also thinking about what it means to build somewhere kind of a shared space where my memory become material that my friends and audience could be part of it and move through and reinterpret.
Yeah, you spoke really beautifully to, I guess, the kind of juxtapositions that stand out in the work. I feel like there's this kind of mood where there's parts which feel, or symbols that feel quite playful, like these wigs and holding these balloons that are, you know, bring out these kind of feelings of childhood, but it has kind of a little bit of like an unsettling or like uncomfortability with it as well. What were kind of the feelings you were wanting to explore with that work, if you could kind of speak to those ideas a little bit more?
Actually, from the start point, I think I'm drawn to the four channel, like the multiple channel video, is because memory never arrives as a full picture, as a like one, just one clear picture. So you kind of feels like it's overlapped and sometimes even contradictory. And multi screens in the same space with a lot of voice happening at the same time, let me to put memory in a overlap, echo, and kind of interrupt each other this kind of way, yeah.
You mentioned at the beginning there, in terms of location and where you're from and moving here, the location feels very prominent in the work. How do you kind of see that relationship between bringing these locations into a space here in Auckland and kind of speaking to those ideas now in this location, if that makes sense?
This video is mostly like shoots in my hometown, not in Auckland. I'm thinking, because I'm the one who do the shooting and I'm the director, so actually I spent most of the time here when I was adult in Auckland here. And so I'm thinking I'm the part of Auckland to bring it back to my hometown. And so the way I'm seeing my hometown right now is the way I'm blending Auckland and my hometown in a different way. Yeah,
no, that's really beautiful. And I do want to speak a little bit more to the installation. It's so effective, and I feel like you're standing there as a viewer and you're like, where do I look? But it's kind of nice, you get consumed by the whole work and it's kind of in every corner of the space. Is there kind of an intention for how you wish the work to be engaged with in that sense?
Yeah, actually, firstly, I want to use the curtain to cut the space. So from start, I want to make it like a doorway from the entrance that people could go into the doorway and see a little TV first and wondering, oh, what is happening inside? And they can go through the curtain, go through a doorway to view what happening inside. And from my idea of picking, because it's my memories from the start, and I'm thinking, how can I intrigue people to want to reinterpret into my space, into my work?
Yeah, beautiful. It's been such a pleasure chatting about your work. It looks amazing. For our listeners, you can check out Thea's work in Project Space at the Elam Grad Show.
That was Thea Long speaking to me about her work in the Elam Grad Show. She has her work in Project Space, as I just said in that. and before that, we were listening to various other interviews with Yana Sanvictorius
and Kira Haig,
Michael McClelland,
Ella Rowe,
Sophie Jury,
and Fabian Strauss.
You can go see their work as well as the rest of the graduating cohorts at the Elam Fine Arts Studios at 20 Whittaker Place this Saturday 29th and Sunday 30th from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m.
You can also visit the online portfolio of work and creative practice research from previous graduate students at elam.ac.nz, where this year's graduate work will be posted shortly as well. So go check that out if you want some online documentation.
It's a great catalogue. We'll be right back for your weekly arts guide.
I'll take care of you. It's the 95 BFM Art Guide on various artists. It's paintings in that.
This week in the wonderful world of art in Tamaki Makaurau. As mentioned on the show, the 2025 Elam Graduate Show is on at Elam School of Fine Arts at 20 Whittaker Place this Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Go check it out. It'll be so awesome.
Heidi Brickle's Wild Dividends, as well as A Moment to Hold, a group exhibition showing Brunel Diaz, Hannah Island, Christina Pattaya-Lee, Johanna Pegler, Kate Small, Barbara Tuck and Ruby Wilkinson are both on at the Arts House Trust at Par Homestead until the 1st of March.
Gus Fisher's gallery group exhibition, What We Choose to Remember, is on until the 13th of December.
Parts of a Cell, an exhibition with Jim Allen, Campbell Patterson and Kali Solaite Uhila, is on at Michael Lett until the 6th of December.
Echo, an exhibition by Tarika Sabwal, Erica Holm and Naruma Riley, is on at Artspace Aotearoa until the 20th of December.
Ngā Tai Whatu, Woven Dreams, an exhibition by Nepi Tupaya and Arnie O'Neill, is on at Tim Melville Gallery until the 20th of December.
Julia Holdener's Room at Ashenby is on at Sanderson Contemporary until the 7th of December.
Also, there is quite a few openings next week, so head along to Peter Robinson's show Drawings, opening at Coastal Signs on Wednesday 3rd of December from 5:30 till 7 p.m.
And we've also got Season's new group show, Body Language, which opens on Thursday 4th of December from 6 to 8 p.m. that evening.
And Sank Gallery is reopening with a solo exhibition by Michael Prose, Scallop Immersion, and the opening event is on Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m. If you have something you want on the Art Guide, you can email us at arts@95bfm.com.
That was the 95BFM Art Guide.
Ko ira te hōtaka katoa mō tēnei wiki, nei te mihi katoa kia koutou... Oh my god. Nei te mihi kia koutou katoa I kōrero mai ki māua mō tēnei rā.
That's all for us on various artists for today. Ngā mihi nui to everyone who spoke with us from the Elam Grad Show.
Yana San-Victoris.
Kira Haig.
Michael McClelland.
Ella Rowe.
Sophie Drury.
And Fabian Strauss.
And Thea Long. Nei rā, hoki te mihi kia koutou I whakarongo ana. Thanks for tuning in.
And remember, you can listen back to all of today's pieces on 95bfm.com or check out our Instagram, 95bfm various artists for more.
Ka hoki mai mātoa, te rā wiki. Next up is The Land of the Good Groove with Mari. My name is Sophia.
I'm Maya.
And that was various artists.
We'll catch you next week.
You're listening to 95BFM. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.